What is up, everybody? It's your favorite bench warmers back at it again. Week two here. First week of the season. We're just getting ready. Can't wait to share some stories here and just chop it up with you. First, just for me personally, just want to thank everybody for the support. Seems like we had a lot of listeners. A lot of people texting us, telling us good job. And, you know, even if you're lying, I'll take compliments anytime I can get. So I'll toss it over to my guy Quinn, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, just piggybacking off of what Zach said, appreciate your support. Something we're probably going to let you know is just to share it with your friends and family that might be interested in football or NDSU, something like that, and just let them know that we're doing it. I know I was at a wedding this weekend and up in Minnesota, and we got asked a lot about it, which was kind of surprising. So, yeah, just keep letting people know about it.
Yeah, it's been crazy. A lot of shares, a lot of listens. So can't thank you guys enough. We're kind of shocked anyone would want to listen to us anyway. But we're here again, week two. We're just kind of, just kind of go into the different parts. I feel like there's segments to the season.
For sure.
Yeah, and we'll kind of go through the beginning part of the season, week one, what our thoughts are on that. And then, you know, obviously when we get to it, you'll get into the conference grind, and then we'll tackle playoffs when we get there. But first, we're playing Drake this weekend. I don't think we have to be as polished as the Bison Report radio guys are as far as respecting opponents. I feel like we're a little more real. And folks, Drake lost to Valparaiso last year. So, you know, obviously things can change on any given Saturday, but to get your first one out of the way under your belt, Drake is a good place to start.
Yeah, and I mean, typically, I guess since I started playing, there's only been one. Don't hold me to this. I think there was only one game that was like semi-competitive and very competitive, and was the Charleston Southern.
Yeah,
that was my true freshman year. So Zach, you would have still been in high school, but I mean, those first three games of that year, it was Charleston Southern,
Eastern Washington
with
Cooper Cup.
I think he went for like 200 and two touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah, and then got
and
hurt.
And then we had the bye week, and then Iowa. So
that's a crazy start to the season.
That was probably three of the toughest first games that NDSU had ever put on the schedule.
And that was when Charleston Southern was rolling, man. They were still a solid, solid football team.
Yeah, they were really good. Obviously, I know, like, since I was, you know, we were prepping for the I wasn't on the actual defense at that time. I was just doing scout stuff. And, you know, I think they had kind of said that they were definitely a rebuilding program, but at the time their offense was pretty tough. And it ended up, I mean, two games in a row, I think, them in Eastern Washington, it was both like 50 to 52 games or whatever it was.
Yeah, but, and I remember this was like the first time they started instituting that crazy cut rule.
Yeah.
And there were like 15 penalties on both sides. The games were like 4 hours long. I think they both went into overtime. But just some crazy memories there. But yeah, like we said, it's a good sharpen up. You know, you hear the cliche of seeing somebody in a different color jersey, and that's what this is. Obviously, all the respect to Drake. These guys are still D1 football players, but I think there might be a little separation in skill coming on Saturday. So let's get into what we went through. What's the – when you finally start classes, I know my thoughts, but what did you feel when you actually had something to do during the day?
Yeah, and I think it's something that we probably touched on last week. Oh, that's another thing. Me and Zach, we're not going back and listening to these pods. So, yeah. And I mean, last week was a one and done, which was kind of nice to get it out of the way. But we pretty much just find a time that we're both available during the week, and we're going to hit record, and then we're going to press end, and then we're going to tell Ross, you can listen to it, and if there's no mistakes, just release it. But yeah, like we kind of hit on last week, I mean, it's a lot different compared to when you're younger versus when you're older.
Yeah.
When you're younger, it's definitely there's not a ton of true freshmen that are able to suit up during the season.
Yeah.
Let alone like get a ton of playing time. I mean, I know there's been some in the past, Bruce Anderson,
DeLuca.
He comes to mind, Nick DeLuca. It's guys that you know about.
You have to be a freak of all freaks to play as a Josh Hayes came in when I was a freshman. Right.
Yep. So, you know, just as a freshman or even a second year guy, but mostly as a freshman, you're thankful that you made it through fall camp. I mean, if you didn't get injured, that's another plus. You're moving into kind of what started to happen probably at the time we recorded the first episode. They were moving into the school year. They were probably a week left of True Fall camp, but even the last week of True Fall camp, you're pretty much, you're moved to scout team.
Yep.
You're game prepping for your first opponent, no matter who it is. Could be Iowa, could be Drake. I mean, the only other time we might have went a little bit longer, thing about the defense was, Cal Poly.
Yeah, because they ran the triple option.
Yeah, so I mean, both the offense and defense, because like the off, yeah. So unless it's like a crazy, you know, offensive scheme or defensive scheme that, you know, we haven't seen a lot of in the Missouri Valley, that split between the offensive and defensive scout teams typically happens the week before school starts. But yeah, moving into school as a freshman, I mean, like I said, you're thankful that, you know, you're injury free and you're on scout and you're going to be lifting with Kramer a bunch, and that's kind of your routine. But life definitely changes a lot, and as a true freshman, there's a lot of other commitments you find out that come with school starting, and, you know, not just being able to focus on football.
Yeah, and I think, you know, another thing of that's weird about fall camp, and it really is, I mean, it's a war of attrition those 3 weeks, because as a true freshman, and even as you go into when you get older, these are guys that you're either in group chats with or have been teammates with for years now, and guys quit during fall camp. I mean, you know, that's the thing that breaks people sometimes. But so, I mean, just to go in August and come out of August without the same faces there is really weird. But, you know, when school starts, those guys that are there are the ones that you're going to ride with for the next 6 months. So, I mean, that's a good feeling. You lock down your team. I was always relieved when school started, just because of how much of a mental grind fall camp is. You get to think about something else.
Yeah, and I was kind of the same way too. I think we went into our personal fall camp experiences last time, but something that I don't know if it ended up hurting me or helped me. In my mind, it always helped me, but during fall camp, I needed time away from football. And since you don't really get that during the day, you get a few hours here and there. I always had to like go home, whether it was, you know, watching The Office for a few hours or putting on a movie. And I've never slept that much, and I still don't to this day. I'm more of like a, I'm more of a 1 to 6 guy, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. So
absolute nut job.
Yeah. So it was pretty easy for me to go home at night. You know, we get done with that last walkthrough at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Had to throw something on to kind of get my mind off of it a little bit. I know there's a lot of, like, I mean, perfect example here, maybe it did, Cordell, I mean, Cordell literally to this day, I mean, still, I mean, obviously, by now you guys know he's, I think, has the left guard spot down.
He's a starter at left guard.
You'll be starting for the Bengals. I mean, big shout out to Cordell. Obviously, we're happy for you, man. But he's a guy that, like, he would just, you know, he could go to sleep after that walkthrough at 9:30 and then wake up at 6 and, like, just do all the football all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just never like that. So definitely school starting, it's a little bit of relief in the sense that you can – For a guy like me, you can have, you know, time to yourself throughout the day, you know, after a lift or after the morning meetings, and kind of, you know, be a normal human for a few hours.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part is, one, you get to see for the first time people on campus that you hadn't seen previously. I mean, it's full. You guys know, I think NDSU is up there as far as how beautiful the campus is when it's in full bloom. All the trees, the flowers, the bushes, everything, it's gorgeous up there. So you just get to soak it all in. And like Quinn said, you get to put your mind elsewhere so you can focus on other things. And then when you get to the football time, it's really locked into football time. It's not feeling like a chore that you have to do. Because you and I and Ross have discussed the Aaron Rodgers interview when he said, like, if you're there at 5 and you're up till midnight, that's your own fault. It's a mental grind. But there's guys like Cordell who love that and can sit there. And I'm not one of those guys. I could still get my film breakdown and take notes and everything, even in between meetings, but I'm not going to sit there and break down Alabama versus Ole Miss film from 2016. It's just kind of your preference. But like you said, Quinn, it's school starts, you get to, and that's the other part of it. You get to become a well-rounded human again. You're in your general classes, but, you know, you're on the path to finding what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't experience it too much in the dorms. I mean, me and I was roommates with Howie, and we were the first room to the left off of
the RDC. Shouts to Howie.
Yeah, we were the first room off to the left of the RDC, you know, closest to the dining hall, so that was kind of nice. But, I didn't experience it much because we're in Johnson Hall, but we didn't get a lot of, like, relationships with other people in the dorm. I don't know if you did. I know there's a few guys on the team that did, but I don't know. We just weren't around enough to be completely honest. I mean, when they're doing their, you know, when they're welcoming new students to the campus, into the dorms and doing all that, that stuff, like we're at practice, yeah. We're at meetings. Like, it's kind of hard to make friends outside of the, you know, your football buddies for that first year. At least it was for me.
Yeah. And, you know, to keep it fairly PG-13 and not give too much insight to what's going on. But, you know, a lot of what you do in your off time is with other football guys. You know, whether that is on the weekends or even if you're just studying, if you all have a class, biology 101 together, you know, it's just natural that you're going to gather with other football players.
Heard you say the word studying there.
I didn't do a lot of that either, but.
Yeah, but speaking of studying, like we talked about as freshmen, and, you know, second and third year guys have it too, I guess, but one of the things that comes with school is those other responsibilities we talked about. None more probably needed. One, yeah. I mean, it's definitely needed, but most frowned upon by players, those ace hours.
It's the most frustrating because, you know, it feels like you earn your free time through what you do during the day, and then you get done with practice, and it's like, go sit in the basement of the RDC or WDC, I guess, for 2 hours every night.
Yeah, that definitely, and you know, like, if it's definitely all a mindset thing. I mean, I didn't struggle that bad in school. I was a pretty good student, but like I got most of my, you know, work done outside of those hours.
Yeah.
So for like me, I would go in there and it's just like, I don't have anything else to do.
Right.
But I still got to get these hours in per week and, you know, do all that stuff. And yeah, typically the only time to do it is after practice.
Yeah.
And when you're a freshman, and we've talked, we're going to go into scout team stuff in a little bit here, but when you're a freshman and you just got, you know, the crap being out of you for 2 hours on, yeah, scout team, no subs typically, yeah, or if you do, it's typically like
you are lucky.
You know, you're in for eight, out for two or three.
Right.
Especially if you're a good scout player, you're not getting off that field.
Yeah.
you want to be a good scout player because it shows the coaches that you care and all of that stuff. But like, if you're a good scout player, good luck ever getting a break during team because rightfully so, the coaches want you out there. They want you making guys better and doing all that. But, you know, going back to the ace hours, the last thing you want to do after a 2 hour practice, you know, getting the crap beat out of you, is go sit in a dark, dark study room and like, you know, the
have
the
to ace stay awake.
Yeah. And like, you know, all respect to the ace employees. I mean, they're absolutely there for a good cause,
yeah,
but just, you know, as a dumb 18-year-old football player, the last thing you're thinking is like that's important. Cause you're just like, I just, you know, had one of the hardest 2 hours ever, and I don't have any homework to do.
Yeah.
Like, why am I sitting in here?
Yeah, and I think that goes into a deeper thing that ties into a lot of the culture Bison football instills, and it's doing the tough stuff when you don't want to. It really does ease you into being a grown-up, because you and I wouldn't have the success or be in the positions we're in life right now without, you know, the nature that was instilled in us, and you just do your work. It is, you do what's asked of you. When you're a freshman, you have eight of those ace hours, and then you basically earn your way out of them. They're, yeah, doing good in school. I wasn't a good student. I passed. You know, obviously I graduated, but I wasn't excelling at all. And they just kind of knew that. They knew where I was. So I didn't really get punished for, you know, mediocre grades or anything. But it is a direct correlation. Usually it's a bend or break thing where guys either get their act together and fix their grades if they get scheduled more ace hours as an older guy, or you don't and you flunk out of school or something like that. But like you said, man, you go 2 hours, you go get one of your four required meals in for the day, and all you want to do is go to bed at 8:30, and this is the other hard part. And like you said, all respect to the ace employees, but I watched a lot of Netflix in ace hours. You had to find a good spot. That's all it was somewhere that wasn't checked very often, or somewhere where you could hide your computer screen. But, you know, I did get a lot of work done just because it's one of the few times that you actually have time to do it during the day.
Yeah, and like, I'm sure the coaches hate to hear this, but sometimes the ace hours, when it's like 20 of the freshmen in there, sometimes those are the best hangs.
Oh, you'll ever, yeah,
get. I mean, we gave him a shout out last time, but Ross Kenley, I knew him obviously because we're the same age, but like, I wasn't that good of friends with him yet. You know, we'd hung out a few times, but I think the moment we became friends is because we were in there and I took a hilarious video of him like bobbing in and out of sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something from a movie. Like he was like completely awake at one time and then like, this is bad listening, but he would like, his head would just bob down. And as soon as the chin hit the chest, he would like pop back up again. And he would like look around and like see if anyone saw. And like, we became like super good friends after that. And like, he was in my wedding and all that. But like, yeah, sometimes as much as like you hated the Ace Hours as a freshman, you, and like, I think Tangway told me this, like when I was a freshman, as far as football goes, like it's going to suck sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, you can love football with all your heart, but sometimes it just sucks.
Yeah.
The schedule, you know, you can have like a terrible practice. You know, something he told me that I think helped, and I've told guys too, and I know they came to me when they had problems, is it's going to suck, but you gotta talk to it with a player.
Absolutely.
Because they've been through it too. So like, it's really important for freshmen, and that's how you get guys to stick around. And, you know, as Zach said, we definitely had guys that quit during fall camp, but I feel like it's a lot less than other places. And yeah, considering we probably have one of the toughest fall camps, I mean, we used to for sure during the 2 days, and even now during the 1 a days, I mean, I still think NDSU probably still has one of the hardest one practice per day fall camps.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you need guys to stick around. I mean, you need that culture to be set, and the culture has been set. It's been set forever. And I think, you know, no matter what, with transfer portal, NIL, which I'm sure we'll have podcasts about in the future, I think no matter what rules are in place, restrictions, any of that, I think NDSU will always be in a good spot because they have that advice that's been handed down year after year after year. So yeah, like Tanway said, I mean, you need to talk to it about, you know, guys you're playing with. So, like, that was another thing Ace was big for. Sometimes, I think my freshman year, we redshirted every single player.
Yeah.
So, literally every player, Jabril Cox, Dylan Radins,
Cordell Wilson. Everybody was doing the same thing.
Yeah, we were all going, and that's another good thing about NDSU and their culture. It didn't matter who you were. As a freshman, I had the same amount of AS hours that Carson Wentz had.
Yep.
When you're a freshman, you're all treated the same. You're getting that certain amount of hours in, no matter who you are. But, you know, going back to the point, you know, 24 freshmen, however many freshmen, I mean, there was probably a day where you all had a bad day.
Of course.
And that those AS hours sometimes, I mean, like I said, I don't know, coaches probably aren't listening to us. They heard enough of us for four years, yeah, 4.5. But, sometimes those were the best hangouts.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's really just where you galvanize each other. You know, you can lean on the guy next to you. And, you know, you and I both have buddies from high school that we keep pretty close, man. But there's nothing like that bond with fellow football players. And, you know, even in, you know, we're both BFPA members. So, you know, the guys in the past, they're obviously your brothers and they know what you went through and they're proud of you and the accomplishments, just like we are the guys that are playing now. But there's just a distinct connection you have with the guys you played with. And, you know, a lot of those guys will be in my wedding and will be the godfather to my children. So, my funny Ace story that kind of cemented my friendship with two of these guys was Mason Hofstede and Cody Malk. They had the kinetics room where they had, like, bouncy balls and stuff. And I have a video of those two lining up on each end of the room and running at each other as fast as they could. And I think Mason knocked Cody off his feet. I mean, keep in mind, this was 250-pound Cody Malk before he's a 300-pound NFL draftee. But
before the Devo lift year.
Yeah, exactly, which we'll get to. And then I have another picture or a video of Cody bouncing on it on his belly, and then he stood up and bounced on it, and he got shot so high in the air he kicked a ceiling tile out. I'm like, oh my god, so not only are you horsing around in Ace Hours, which is frowned upon, if the coaches hear about it, you are causing property damage. It's not a good combo. Yeah. But you know, like you said, it's the little stuff that you find those moments of relief in. Like you said, it galvanizes those guys forever. But
Before we move into, I think what we want to talk about next is probably the Devo lifts. But before we move into that, so we talked about the freshman a lot during fall camp, transitioning into the school year. Pretty much anything after that, I mean, I don't know what the coaches consider. I consider anyone that's not a true freshman pretty much an upperclassman. Mm-hmm. They've been through it a year. Obviously, fifth-year seniors are a lot different than second-year, you know, redshirt freshmen. But, I mean, when you're an upperclassman, you have your roommates now that you're out of the dorms.
Yeah.
You're choosing to live with, you know, 3, 4, 5. I don't know if I went into a 6-person household.
Yeah, I think the most I saw was 5.
Yeah, that's a lot. But 5 for sure.
6 becomes a frat, I think.
Yeah, but so definitely, you know, you're living with 3 or 4 other people, and, you know, by now, a lot of guys, you know, they're on their first girlfriends.
Yep.
You know, second, who knows? But, I mean, like we said, a lot of, you know, other commitments come into play when you're not a true freshman anymore. And
yeah,
I think for me, luckily, I've been with Kendra since we were freshmen. Mm-hmm. So our lives didn't change a whole lot through my 5 years. I mean, we were, you know, living together after year 2 or 3, I think. But, like, when you're an upperclassman, it's super nice when school starts, and the fact that, you know, you've been through it for a year or 2 or 3 or 4, and, like, your life schedule is pretty, you know,
you've
done it before.
Yeah.
You've done it before, so you know what to do, you know how to become efficient. You know, I knew that I think meetings usually started at 2 o'clock, 2:30 every mm-hmm. day. I'm a guy that loved that, you know, I don't know if it was necessary. That's a great sentence, but I don't know if it was necessary, but I always wanted to be at the dome a couple hours before meetings.
Yeah.
You know, I liked, and as, you know, me and Zach talked about being glue guys, I think part of something that comes with that is getting to know everybody in the building. Mm-hmm. So I would go up there, the first few years, I'd go up, I'd talk to Hank, see what's going on, go downstairs, I'd talk to BJ, and then, you know, when Cattell came on and Dino, I'd go upstairs, talk to those two.
Go mess with Mason and Bobby in the training room.
Go mess with Mason, Bob. You know, they don't have anything to worry about, you know. You know, not like they had to, like, get guys healthy for games.
Yeah,
Not that any of that was important.
They had time to waste.
Yeah, they had time to listen to us talk about all of our BS. But I just
go sit in the hot tub for 2 hours.
Yeah. I just, you know, they that was, like, one of my favorite parts of the day.
Yeah.
Especially being like a 4th and 5th year guy and a guy that's like a backup special teamers.
It's just, you know, it's that so was my relaxing.
Favorite part.
Yeah. You know, you, cause like you said, I've been together with Julia since 8th grade. So I didn't have any of that to worry about, but just like stuff going on at home, you go to the dome, that is your fortress. Nobody can mess with you. So it's just like a nice, easier way into getting done with class to go relax and get ready for practice, get your mind right. And, you know, I agree with you. Just go in there, sit in the team room, eat snacks. But I think what freshman year really acts as is like a buffer to you being an adult.
Yeah, for sure.
They're just kind of clipping your wings before they let you fly. Because once you move into your place, it's on you to go to class. It's pretty few and far between of the coaches checking on you. It's on you to get your homework done. Obviously, grade reports and everything come, but it's on you to go to meals, where a lot of that is more structured your freshman year. And the reason they do that is to instill what you're supposed to do when you do move into the real world. Let's chat about Devo lifts, because if we could get our hands on our cards, Kramer, cover your ears, we could sell those workouts to bodybuilders and strength guys for tens, thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And Kramer, uncover your ears now. Can you just send me and Willis our card so we can, like, possibly get into shape again?
Yeah, but
in our lifetime.
But no, where's the 6-pack board? I had enough of that.
Yeah.
But that is where the transformation you see from Cordell Volson being 250 pounds to being 315, from Cody Mauch being 240 to 290 in a year. That mixed with the...
Even guys like, there's someone, I can't remember who it was in my grade now. Man, this is going to bother me, but someone in my grade during our Devo year, they stayed the exact same weight,
mm-hmm.
lost 18 pounds fat, gained 18 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just new bodies.
Yeah. I came in, I've always been a bigger kid, obviously. You and I share that struggle. I came in heavy, and my freshman year, I went down 12 pounds and up 14 in muscle. Down 12 in fat, up 14 in muscle.
Yeah,
so you're literally restructuring your body, getting ready to play 5 years of college football.
Yeah, and it's definitely not easy. I mean, the lifts are, I mean, you pair those Devo lifts as a freshman or a redshirt freshman with, you know, being on scout team. I mean, those Wednesday, because Tuesdays we don't do the Devo lifts, but those Wednesday padded practices after your Devo lift and you're on scout, that's one of the, you know, those are some of the hardest days during those first, you know, 8-9 weeks during the season. Obviously, everyone knows, like, the later the season goes, the a little bit easier the practices get. Devo lifts don't get easier.
No.
I mean, you know, practices might shrink by half an hour or so, you know, through the course of 17 weeks. But those Devo lifts, I mean, you're in it. You're in it. And when you're in it, you can't see a way out.
Wednesday's the hard leg day, too, man. It was horrible just going. Because the worst part is you would finish lift, have to sprint over to the dome for team meetings, be sweaty, throw your pads on, and sit through regular meetings, and then right out onto the field. It is a complete whirlwind when you're lifting and still going to practice.
For sure. And, like, those Devo lifts, another thing that's tough about them, a guy like me, so, yeah, like Zach said, I've been pretty big my whole life, obviously, and, like, but the way I stayed in shape growing up is I've always lifted, and I've, you know, I still lift to this day, and it's kind of therapeutic for me at this point, being, like, not a player anymore. But the hardest part with some of those Devo lifts is I've done the lifts before, but I did not do them growing up the way that NDSU does
it. Right.
So then it's, like, retraining your brain how to lift, which is, like, it's almost worse than, like, if you had never lifted before.
Right.
Which I think Kramer actually loves. When he gets a guy in there that, like, doesn't know. Like,
one of these farm kids.
Yeah, that doesn't know, like, what a deadlift is, or doesn't know what, like, a power clean or hang clean or, you know, all that stuff. I feel like he, like, gets this, like, little, like, energize, like, it even energizes him more because he's like, oh, I can really, like, mold this guy.
Yeah, they're the, you know, just the big lumps of clay that had never been touched before, where guys like you and me that had lifted in high school, it's not like we were winning powerlifting. You might have been winning powerlifting competitions or anything, but, like, you know, I had still lifted and had my idea of what correct form is. We're, like, chiseled in wood. And, like, not all the way there yet, but we still have to be formed. So he had to, like, break us down and then mold us into one that he wanted. And, you know, I tell people about it, and they, like grimace at how bad it sounds. But 6 a.m. lifts on Friday were the best.
Yeah, they're fun.
As long as you had nobody that was late.
Did you have
oh,
one?
All the time.
Oh, we had one. It was homecoming, I think. And I don't even remember who the guys were, to be honest. But, yeah, we had one. And that was the only late we had, you know, through our whole Devo when I was in Devo. And it was, and that's when Knapp was still. Did you have Knapp?
No.
I love Knapp.
Ultimate meathead.
I mean, the combo between Knapp and Kramer, you never wanted to screw up in the weight room.
Right.
I mean, those two would. You would know.
Yeah.
And being late, I think we just did. I mean, you know, we just pushed plates and did up downs for 45 minutes. And then we're in our heads, we're all just like, oh, you know, dang, like this is that sucked. But at least we can just lift. Kramer says, all right, see you guys 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yep.
I mean, when you're a freshman, and here's another thing, like when you're a freshman, and, you know, as tough as the weeks are, you live, if you're redshirting, you live a great life during the season. Because it is, you know, you grind. I mean, it's a grind Monday through Friday morning. But after Friday morning, you're cut loose till your lift on Monday.
For 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, you're free as a bird. I mean, it's really like, it's such a relief. As a
walking
freshman.
Out of the shack at 7:30, it's still kind of.
Shaking hand.
It's still kind of crisp outside, man. There is nothing better. I just, like, I'm feeling that like euphoria rush right now. But when you, like,
it's almost like the what is it, it's almost like when you leave a spring ball practice on a Friday.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it's just that feeling, like I'm like, and like I said, we love football, but it is like I have no responsibilities these next few days.
Yeah, I would go golfing with my dad on Saturday mornings before games. Like, I just knew I was done. But when you're, like, going through the checklist of who's here and who's not, and it's, like, getting down to those last minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst part is,
I mean, you're standing by phones.
Yeah.
And, like, this goes into when you're an upperclassman, too. But, like, by the time you're an upperclassman, I think I was only part of, like, 2 times in the next 4 years where, like, guys were late.
Much more.
And when you're an, upperclassman, oh, man, I can't even think. I think one time, you know, that guy was just punished.
Yep.
And then, you know, everyone was punished during the run where we would, like, push guys or whatever. But
typically
when you're an upperclassman, it is put more on you unless it becomes a recurring theme.
And or if it's a roommate, then it becomes an issue.
Yeah, you always got to get your roommates up. But
the big thing is, like, we always talked about freshman year, especially because you're in a dorm with somebody. If one of you is late, the other one better be late. And then he always said you wouldn't be punished if both of you were late. I never bought it, and nobody ever tried it.
No.
But that means you left your brother behind if you were late, or if he was late and you weren't.
But there were some, even when you're, and yeah, this is another thing. When you're a freshman, those Devo lifts, if they're on your floor.
Yeah. Yep.
If they're on your floor, then that's on you too.
Get everybody,
which is true. Because, like, especially the high rises, right?
That's
what they call them. I mean, they're just squares. So, really, there's like, is there 8 rooms per floor or like 10?
Something around there.
So, if a guy's on your floor, I mean, you're close enough to go knock on that door and get him up. I mean, it sucks for the normal students that they're paired with typically that, you know, have someone knocking on their
door.
Tell
Kramer to call
at 5:55 a.m. on a Friday morning. But no, if they're on your floor and they're late, that's on you too. But it's definitely as someone who always lifted in early groups, for, you know, 5 years. Luckily, I was never late. I mean, those of you that know me have seen my alarm clock list. I still have them to this day. My alarms are set every 3 minutes.
Just wake up from
3 a.m. to 9 a.m. I mean, it's an insane list of just, you know, anxiety ridden, like needing to get up for a lift. But if I lifted at 5:15, which we did in the summers, those babies were going off at 4:25 and they weren't stopping until 4:45. You know, like, I was just obsessed with not being late. So as someone who always lived in those early groups, if you, like you said, the closer you get, you're 5 minutes before and there's 3 guys not there. 2 of them are roommates. So you're like, okay, they're probably coming. But then there's that one guy. We're not thinking of anyone, but if there's one guy and he's not a roommate to anyone in the group, you're just like, oh no,
dude,
oh no, oh no. And then they walk in at, you know, 5:13, 5:14. It's just,
there were some repeat offenders, but it literally could have been anybody of, you know, falling asleep before you plugged a phone in or whatever, just all this stuff. But it is like the most anxiety inducing thing I've ever been a part of is waiting for people to show up to an early lift on time.
I've also heard, we're probably not going to share them, at least not right now, but I've also heard some hilarious stories about Kramer going getting guys.
Oh yeah.
That were repeat offenders. None during my time.
I have one specifically about a teammate who plays in the NFL now. There's 16 of them, so good luck guessing which one. But
yeah,
that is my favorite story about Kramer freaking out. I think another thing that doesn't get talked about is there are still redshirt freshmen lifting with the freshmen in Devo lifts. I did it twice, technically 3 times because I was hurt. Still don't forgive Kramer for that. But there are guys who had been through freshman year already, and they're at 6 a.m. lifts, and they know what's going to happen if somebody shows up late. So I think Howie lifted with us, and I can't remember who else. Justice Kelly. Just guys that knew, like, they're already heading down to the other end of the turf because they know they're pushing plates.
Yep.
Before we move into the next segment, let's talk about something that you can count on and will never be late, and that's Tundra Insurance. Quinn, what's going on at Tundra Insurance this week?
That was a great segue.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, my friend. Yeah, like Zach said, me and Ross, we're always here, or at least one of us would be Monday through Friday, 9 through 5 a.m.
You guys are easy to get a hold of.
Easy to get a hold of. You look up Tundra Insurance on Google right now. We're the first one that pops up. Pretty much the only thing that pops up if you look that up. But, yeah, you can find us on the website. Our emails are on there. It's just quinn@tundrainsurance.com and ross@tundrainsurance.com. Yeah, we're partnered with a bunch of different carriers right now. We decided to, you know, do everything ourselves, go out on our own, start this new adventure, and yeah, just reach out, and I can usually, you know, we can quote you out within a day, typically. So
yeah, you guys located down here in South Horace. I think one part is being a customer of you guys is a nice part. Is like you said, being able to be independent, you can get quotes from all over the place, so you can find the cheapest rate, better coverage, whatever works best for you. Let's get into first game of the year. Because this is...
The vibes.
Yeah. The vibes are awesome, man. Because like we said, you get to see someone else. And freshman year, a lot of this will be from that perspective, and I think we'll get into what our later years were like going on. But you're not playing. Like you said, you're free, so it's way different. But as going into dressing your first time, the vibes are immaculate, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane what... It's insane what, like, one day can do. I mean, you're on Saturday... So the Saturday... The Saturday that school starts is so what the guys would have went through this last Saturday is typically a big scrimmage day. I mean, it's emulating a game day, which, you know, you're kind of excited for because you're like, okay, this means we're at the end of fall camp, which is obviously what we talked about.
Yeah.
Big plus. But then after that, you know, you get into Sunday and then it's like, you know, fake recovery day.
Yeah.
Recovery day, but I'm saying like simulated recovery day. You wake up on Monday and it's game week. I don't care if Alabama's on the schedule or Drake.
Yeah.
It, I mean, as a player, I mean, and this is just me talking, but I think I get a pretty good, you know, feeling for what other guys think. As a player, that waking up on Monday, it's an insane feeling.
Because let's be real, as far as what we go through in the offseason, in season is probably the easiest part of our year. As far as, you know, injury prevention, you're going through practice still, which is hard, but, you know, you're not doing the early morning stuff, the heavy lifts, the long runs, the patterns in the summer. So you just know, you're like, okay, it's football time for until what is expected is the first week of January.
Yeah, and like, we'll probably have an episode at some point. I don't know if it'll be during the spring or maybe towards the end of the season, but we'll probably have an episode, like an episode, talking about spring ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back, I only actually went through three spring balls because of COVID.
Right.
But, you know, spring ball is just so different because you are grinding.
One day of spring ball.
Yeah.
Like COVID year.
Yeah. Well, yep, we had one practice. But you're just grinding and grinding and grinding. And, yes, it is to get better. And it's mostly for young guys. Coaches will tell you that. Everyone will tell you that. Everyone needs to get better. But it's mostly for young guys. But there's not this big, you know, payoff, especially now. I mean, there's no – the spring ball game now, it's just a practice.
Yep.
It really is. I mean, I don't even know where the guys – I think the guys were actually in uniform still, but it's just it's pretty much a practice now. I think my freshman year it was a little bit of a game, but even then it was, you know, it was a lot of practice and, you know, thud up scrimmage. But there's really not that big payoff at the end of spring ball, which makes spring ball even more tough. Fall camp, as tough as it is,
there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's, you know, one, it's, you know, coaches will say it. It's, you know, you're taking it day by day, but, you know, you're looking at the Missouri Valley title and you're looking at the national title when you go to NDSU. So the season is the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You wake up on that Monday and you know, pretty much, you know, besides the bye week and the hopeful Thanksgiving week bye for playoffs, if everything goes perfect during the season, besides those 2 weeks, I mean, your schedule is set for, you know, your schedule set till the second week of January.
It's routine time, which is all you can ask for as a collegiate athlete, man. Just being able to know what you're doing at 12:30 p.m. You know what you're doing at 9 a.m. It really is crazy. And, you know, just as far as game day itself, you and I are both North Dakota kids. We kind of understood what the culture was here. But for guys that come here and hadn't seen it, and, you know, they go out to the tailgate lot or they drive by the tailgate lot and see all of you listening out there, you know, flying your flags, getting the grills going. It's just insane, man. I can't imagine being able to see that for the first time again because I'd seen it so many times. But I got to imagine that's got to be like such a great feeling. You know, all these diehard people are going into the dome to come cheer for you.
Yeah, man. And like you said, I mean, I can't even remember. I don't think I ever went to a tailgate in high school. Like I was never part of that, you know, going there before. I only really went to, you know, a handful of games during high school too. But the first time I ever saw that tailgate line as a freshman, it was just insane. I mean, we had just, you know, we ate breakfast that morning. I think me and Howie like went somewhere. So we were coming off of the 12th Ave North Bridge. Mm-hmm. Everyone who went to NDSU or, you know, goes to the dome knows what I'm talking about. The 12th Ave Bridge. We're coming down from it, and we can see the line from the bridge, and we're like, what is that? So, like, we didn't even know at that time. We were just like, you know, we were coming back from eating breakfast at, like, Randy's or something.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what's that line? And then we go by, and the closer we get, we're like, oh, that's a camper, you know, trailer. And then we get even closer, and we start to drive by, you know, NDSU football is wrapped around all these people, and we're like, holy crap, like, that's the tailgate.
To get into the tailgate.
Yeah. And then, like, you're like, that's insane. And then you know, go back to – and this is talking as a true freshman, you know, redshirting. You go back to the dorm, hang out for a little bit, get ready for the game. If you're redshirting, you go down through the locker room before the game starts. And, you know, we're walking over. And that was the first time I had walked through the tailgate. And just – I mean, the support that, you know, the fans give the team is what really fuels – obviously is what it's something that fuels a team. I'm not saying it's everything, but as a guy that did it for the very first time, I mean, it was just insane.
And, you know, just to add another perspective to that, man, look at what the spring season was like when we only had 20% capacity or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you get up and fight for one, your fellow Bison that you're playing for past and present. Two, you want to win the game. But three, you're there to live off the electricity of the fans in the crowd. And
I think that had to contribute to at least a little bit of, you know, not our best performances during the spring season. But it is just insane, man. Like, shout out to the real ones, man. You know about the grass lots back in the day before that other lot wasn't even paved.
Yeah, I've only heard about it.
Yeah, I know. Me and my dad, our whole family, we used to roll out in our minivan and plug a crock pot into the van. It had a little socket, and we'd hang Christmas lights and hang out, or people would bring fish houses out. And it was just up for grabs. And now you can't even do that anymore because there'd be so many people getting in line that it'd be organized chaos. But it is just crazy because that personifies, you see it all in one spot of what you think Bison Nation is. It's all in one place. You can look over and see it, and it shows how much people care and love about you.
Yeah, man. And, like, you know, piggybacking off of that even more, you know, we've talked about the vibes on just a game week. Obviously, like, Monday you wake up, you're like, you know, it's been 8 months, however long, about 8 months, nine months. Like, this is what, you know, this is what you practice for. This is what spring ball is for. This is what the morning, you know, the morning lifts, the evening runs are for in the summer, fall camp. This is what it all leads up to, is this week.
Yep.
You get Monday and Tuesday out of the way. Those are the hardest days for the first week. Those are the padded days. And then, you know, Wednesday, Thursday are like, you know, you get everything ready.
Sharpen up. There's
got to be perfect practices.
Yeah.
But then you get to the game day when you're a player and it's the first game you're dressing for, man. And, like, you know, a guy like, you know, guys like us that definitely knew we weren't going to be playing, like, meaningful snaps during that game unless, you know, everyone got injured walking from the RDC to the Dome after the pregame meal. But the pregame meal, something cool about it is, like, you probably had this. I guess I never talked about it with you before right now. You had your – so we have, you know, meetings in the morning of game day, and then you typically ride over with a group of guys to, you know, the walkthrough. Usually it's the same guys.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like the same guys for almost all 5 years. I think I always did it with, like, JD, Jack Durnell, Matt Beagler, and Aaron Steidel. We were like, yeah, so like that stayed. And then even when me and Beags were older and I moved to offensive line, I think me and Beags would still go together. And then it was probably Lane or something, but
I know I hopped in with you guys a couple times. I was a traveler, man. I hopped all over everybody. Yeah. Whatever. I didn't want to drive because it's a mess on campus. So whoever I could get in with an open seat with, that's who I was riding with.
You also had typically the same group of guys that you sat at the table with for pregame meals the night before.
Yep.
I know that's a big thing. You want to get into a good table early because, you know, like, that'll be your table for the next few years. But yeah, just talking about that, I mean, when you're coming from the pregame meal the morning of the game for the first time as a guy that's going to be dressing and possibly playing in, your windows are down, you're playing music.
Yep.
But as soon as you get to the corner that splits the tailgating and the dome, you are, you know, music's off, windows are down, you know, fans are walking by, like, go Bison, you know, horns up, let's go, like, kick some ass, all of it. Like, I mean, and then you're hearing the tailgate lot. Thunderstruck's been playing for 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's been on repeat.
Like, Fireball's been rolling.
Yeah, and then the coaches always walk from you know, the dining hall to the dome. And, like, something cool is, like, I look at a guy like T-Roll, Tyler Roll, the offensive coordinator. You know, I imagine how many times that guy's walked by a tailgate. And to this day, he still smiles when he sees it. So for the fans listening to this, if you are, like, don't underestimate the power you guys have in that tailgate lot, because it's something that the players look forward to seeing, even though we're not walking through it day of games. Seeing it for that 20 seconds is something that, like, truly makes my day, made my day sometimes.
Yeah. You know, and that just kind of goes into what I want to talk about next as far as different personalities on game day, man. But like Quinn said, it really does, you know, it just energizes you, man. Get ready and go through that grind because you couldn't do it on your laurels alone. So let's chat about the different kind of personalities on game day and then kind of go through what we were. Let's start with that. So I wasn't like one of these listen to heavy metal or, you know, crazy rap music and get myself jacked up and worked into a frenzy. One is, like you said, I knew I wasn't playing meaningful minutes, so why would I sit there and get myself all tweaked out, all crazy? Here's what I did. I would go out and get loose. I would run around, do some stretching, and in my earphones, I was listening to a podcast. I just had to focus. I needed something to get me ready. just in case my number was called. I wasn't, you know, guys like Cordell and Zeej, guys that would hype themselves up and, you know, get angry, ready to play because that's what they needed. I wasn't like that. So I kind of steered clear of those guys. I think you were more like me, more chill, just kind of hanging out, getting ready for the game. But what was your kind of perspective? Or maybe I'm wrong about what you were like during game days.
Well, no, similar in actions, but the music. Oh, man, I'm going to expose myself here. The music I would listen to is kind of crazy. I had it like split up into three segments throughout mm-hmm. the day. In the morning, you know, between like going to the meetings and then going to the RDC and then coming back, I would listen to whatever, like pretty much whatever Stites wanted to listen to.
Sure.
Because he was going to be the one playing. So I'd be like, what do you want to listen to? And he'd like give me these, he'd give me like three songs that he'd like find during the week. He'd be like, these are so good. So we'd listen to those. And Stites is a big pump up guy. I mean, Stites is ready to go like the second he wakes up. Mm-hmm. And it's the same Stites. I mean, it's like intense, but also fun, but like not too fun.
Yeah,
and like I found that line with him for sure. Because like I'd like make a joke, and he'd be like, "Bro, it's don't joke around right now. Like,
yeah,
I got it. Don't joke around right now. Just play the song. I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna play the song. I'm like, do you want to repeat it? He's like, restart it. But no, I would. So I'd get taped up like right away. I don't know why. I just always like to like. I usually get that half dress, especially so like I'll go from O line
mm-hmm.
when I started. Like O-line stuff, I would tape up socks, knee braces, pants, cleats.
Now, that's a line of division in the O-line room.
Yeah.
Some guys wait until the very last minute to put their knee braces on because they hate wearing them. Mm. I just wanted to have them on. I didn't have to worry about putting them on.
Because, like, even though we had plenty of time to get acclimated to them being bench warmers, I needed to get used to that feeling of, you know, having them on.
Basically going numb to, not going numb, but going numb to having them on.
No, yeah. You wanted to get to a point during, you know, throughout the day in case you had to go in that, like, you weren't messing with them anymore.
Right.
And, like, they are fitted and they're nice and all that, blah, blah, blah.
They're fitted when you're not a freshman.
Yeah. But, like, so you wanted to get those things on, or at least I did. I wanted to get those things on almost as soon as I walked in the door, just so it was out of the way. But when I was getting taped up, this was after Mac Miller had died.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry. But that last album he came out with, it's like slow whatever.
Yeah.
I listened to like super slow like rap.
Sure.
Like not
more chill vibes.
Yeah, not hardcore like at all. And I would listen to that pretty much until I walked onto the field for pre-warm-ups.
Sure.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Guys would go out there before we actually warmed up. And I'd just have a sweatshirt on. As me and you guys were always heavy, that was a good time of the week for me to get some pounds off before,
especially before the game after started. The Friday night meals. Yeah. It's like a giant buffet that it's all carbs and protein. Yeah. You know, it's like
I know I'm not working that off during the game. Yeah. So like I got to get at least 4 or 5 pounds off during this pre-warm-up.
I didn't eat. And this goes back to high school. I didn't eat before the game.
Yeah.
Because if
that would get me in trouble because I would eat before the game.
If I ate, man, you just feel. That initial, like the actual warm-up is the worst part of the week.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. You go from all that stretching, and it's fast. You're supposed to be getting warmed up to play a collegiate football game. And you're warming up, and then you go into Indy with the coaches, and then you're in team, and then you sit for 3 hours if you get to play at all. And that is just the warm-up is the worst part by
far. We'll definitely hit on that hopefully soon, but – yeah, so I would – then as soon as I walked on the field, it was like more – I will – to this day, I'm just more of a rock guy.
Sure.
I'm – you know, me and Kendra, we took a road trip to Virginia, Minnesota this weekend for a wedding, and she had to put the headphones on at one point. I'm a white angst rock guy.
big Creed guy.
I mean, I'm Creed.
Green Day.
Limp Bizkit. Green Day.
Yeah.
You would like Limp Bizkit.
You get me real into it. I'm listening to Korn.
You're sick.
Like, I am the biggest white angst rock, like, alternative guy ever. Like, little emo-y.
Yeah.
That stuff just, it gets the people going for me. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, guys are, you have so many different guys in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but, like, I'm sure Cordell was listening to country.
Right.
Like, I'm sure he still does. Yeah. He probably dips into like classic rock, but I don't think you listen to the rock I listen to.
Yeah, you know Cody is blasting Def Leppard and Motley Crue.
Yes.
You know, he's not listening to stuff you and I listen to.
Yeah, so I would throw that on for the first half an hour. You're probably out there for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm already exposed because of the, you know, the Rock, but oh man, I don't even want to, I don't even want to tell you this. If you know me, I watch pro wrestling.
You do not listen to entrance music, bro.
Those last 10 or 15 minutes, I'm throwing on Stone Cold, Glass Breaks. I'm throwing on The Rock. I don't even know who else. Triple H. That was a Dome song.
Yeah.
The game, like, oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So, like, I'm throwing on at least 3 to 4 WWE entrances.
You are a sicko.
And that, like, if you've ever taken, like, C4 pre-workout, that's what it feels like when I listen to that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, like... We're not scientists. I'm not going to get into the breakdown of what music does to your body. And like, I'm just,
you need something though. I mean,
I feel too much emotion when I listen to music. I get so into what I'm listening to. I grew up, my dad was an angsty teen. He was 21 when he had me. Love so it. I had Pantera. I had Metallica. I had Eminem. I had DMX. I got like the weirdest combination of angry music you can listen to. So all I feel is what they're singing about. And it's just like, I would get, and I had to learn to do this until my last couple of years, but I would go in there when I was younger and just get so fired up. And it was just like, for what? You know, even if I did get my name called at the end of the game for, you know, garbage time, it was just like, all my energy's gone. I was so fired up for the first 3 hours of this. I didn't need to do that. So I listened to, it would be very, very casual music if I listened to it at all, but I'd listen to podcasts. I would, or just turn on like transparency mode in my headphones and listen to the noises of the dome. The freshmen are coming into the student section. They're saying, what's up? You know, people are starting to file in. You smell the cinnamon almonds. You smell the popcorn. You know, you see, you dap all the guys up that are going to play and you get them ready. And, you know, hey, Cordell, you need a dummy to punch, or, you know, Zeech, you need someone to put a shoulder into.
Yep, for sure.
And then I would go through and my last years, I would go and I play catch with Coach Sanger. Shout out Connor Sanger with the Cardinals now, Arizona Cardinals. We would just see how far we could stand apart from each other and see how hard we could throw the football. And he played collegiate football, obviously, at Wisconsin and Whitewater, I believe.
Sounds right.
Fact check it. Sorry, Coach, if I'm wrong. Yeah. But he would, that was always a good time. Me and Coach Cattell would always chop it up. It was just, you kind of find your routine and you learn to respect everybody else's routine because not everybody gets ready the same way.
Yeah. And I was going to, it's funny you say that sometimes you would have transparency mode on. At least you were faking listening to music. I always wondered what guys that didn't listen to music, they were a little weird to me, but I almost respected it because it's
no,
like,
headphones at all.
No headphones. Like, you're in the lot. And like, for those, so like, part of the reason you listen to your own music, we don't play music in the locker room.
Yep.
Everyone, like, that's like something that I don't know if other colleges do, but like, that's something like I thought was like no brainer. Like, you don't want,
think about how bad that would mess your vibe up.
Yeah.
If you have your music, you listen to get ready, and that's literally anything else.
Yeah.
That would ruin my game day.
But the reason I just respect those guys that didn't wear headphones is because, like, okay, so you're in the locker room, you're listening to nothing, right?
Yep.
You're just listening to side conversations. And when you walk in the dome, I mean, no disrespect to the dome, but like, it's best hits of the 2010s.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's not really any great music.
Flo Rida.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's not really any great music that goes on like during those pre warm-ups. Once the actual warm-up start, once those start, like, you know, the team or, like, you know, leadership council, captains, I think they have more of a say in what the music is, because they're pretty good songs come on during those warm-ups.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I always just wonder, like, those guys just must, I mean, they're either like talking to themselves, like really like into it. And like, funny enough, I mean, I'm not going to name them, but the guys I think of, like, they're really good players.
Yeah.
So obviously they knew something I didn't.
They're psychos.
That. Yeah. I just don't know if I could do it.
Dude, I think the other part that goes into that too is, one, it's usually younger guys that do that.
Yeah.
But I'm like I said, I'm not hoorah getting fired up during the game, but, or before the game, but I also wasn't a guy that wanted to sit and have a casual conversation in the hot tub or, you know, chat in the locker room. I still wanted to be locked in enough and get ready to perform if my number was called. Let's chat about, before we even get to the dome, and it's something you and I took pride in, I think, and it's pregame fits.
Oh, no.
And as big boys in the O-line, we always tried to get approval from the skill guys on if we look good. A lot of times we didn't.
get that call. But, you know, normal, the big dudes, I think of Cordell and Spencer Wagey. They have a Carhartt vest on. They have a pearl snap button down. They're wearing buckle jeans and cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much the standard look for anybody who plays in the offensive line.
Yeah, man. Fashion is tough, dude. Like, because, like, when I was in high school, I mean, I was for those of you that don't know, when I was in high school, I was, like, really big. And then before I came here, I lost, like, 50 pounds, like, within, like, a two-month stretch. Kind of went on, like, a hardcore UFC wrestler diet. So, but, like, in high school.
Lettuce and water.
Yeah, but, like, in high school, like, I don't know. I didn't think about clothes in high school.
No, me either.
I wore graphic Nike tees and shorts that went to the shins because that's what shorts were back then. In 2015, yeah. if you wore the shorts like I'm wearing now that are above the knee, that's like weird.
Oh yeah,
you were a weirdo.
Absolutely.
So like you go back and look at pics of me. Go ahead, I don't really care. You look at pics of me from like 2015 to 16 to 17 to 18 to 19. I think from 2019 to now, I've pretty much stayed pretty consistent.
Yeah.
With my clothes, I mean
Kendra helps with that.
Kendra. She helped get me to that point,
yeah.
And I've kind of taken it over from there enough to where, like, I think she trusts me enough now for what I wear.
Free to dress yourself.
basically because besides workout clothes, you find nothing in my closet that's not black, white, gray, or tan.
Yep,
neutrals. I mean,
I got an olive green on. That's as crazy as I'll go.
Right now I'm in the black shoes, gray shorts, and a black sweatshirt and black hat. I mean, you pretty much don't find me in anything other than that. But, like, yeah, the pregame fits. You want them to be good enough to where people you almost want to be unrecognizable to 95% of the teammates.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, that's Quinn, that's Zach. And then like the ones with good fashion,
yeah.
You want them to just give you like a little tap up and be like, hey, nice job, bro.
They're the ones you want to recognize you for being fashionable.
Those are the ones you dress for.
Because absolutely. There are dudes on the team that would tell me that would give you a fit compliment that you didn't want it from.
Yeah. When you're in a relationship, like me and Zach, like serious ones, you don't really dress for them anymore. You dress for the guys.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're not whack. And you're dressing like a crazy person.
Right. You know, I don't think we ever dressed together, but for UCA, I had Albrecht pick out my outfit because that's somebody that I want. Jack Albrecht, I want him to approve of my outfit. Or I know Trey would always tell me I look clean, and I appreciate that. You know, it's just like you said, there's the 5% of guys that you want to be like, hey, you're looking good today. Because I could show up in a garbage bag and Julia will still see me as the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're gonna try to wrap it up pretty soon here. I know when we started this, Ross said, like, yeah, if you guys can get 25 to 30 minutes, that'd be great. And I think we're going to be looking at close to an hour again.
Yeah.
We'll see if that keeps up. But speaking of game days, as bench warmers, first game of the year, we're heading into a game like Drake. I'm not giving an official prediction, but I think in 2017, it was the first game I ever dressed for, Mississippi Valley State.
Yep.
We beat them. It was like 72-8 or something. If people have been asking me the last couple of weeks, like, what's your prediction? I just feel like they're going to beat that score. And that's not me thinking bad about Drake at all. But you look at the COVID season, you look at last season, the fall, there have been so many guys that have been injured.
Yeah.
Or guys that were out for COVID, so other guys had to, like, start and all that stuff. It had happened in the past. But, like, the amount of guys that are backups this year that had started games last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Nuts.
Guys, we're looking at, you know, the depth chart before we started the pod. It just came out. NDSU's having their first presser right now as we speak. And I looked at Zach and I was just like, there's not
an underclassman.
On the offense, the only thing that doesn't say junior or senior is Cole Payton as the backup right now. It's insane. There's so many guys that have played so many snaps that, like, perfect scenario, starters are out at half this week. Those, you know, it's always been a thing where, like, you get in as a backup, you want to do well.
Yeah.
These backups were starters at some point.
Yeah.
They want to go out
Brandon Westbrook started 4 games or something like that last
Gray, year. That's a true freshman that spring season.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, we're O-line guys, so we think of them right away. And I'm sure there's skill guys, too. Like, you know, I don't know the receiver room that well, but there's so many receivers and running backs.
Yeah.
Guys, go look at the depth chart for the running backs.
It's nuts.
They're like 6 deep.
Yeah.
7 deep.
Yeah.
Those, you know, the 2 or 3 guys that don't get a ton of snaps, you know, during like the important snaps or whatever you want to call them, those guys in the second half are going to be terrorizing guys.
Yeah, I mean, these are, and we've talked about this before, I think on Bison Report Radio last year, is, you know, you look at depth and some might be shallow for what you consider for NDSU football, but the guys behind everybody were our starters at other Valley schools, or other FCS schools.
For sure.
You and I are both, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn or anything like this, but, and they might have just been saying this to be nice to me, but we had former coaches that told us that we would have played if we were at any other school, and we weren't behind Carson Schoening, Zach Johnson, Jalen Sundell. Like, these guys are, that are going to go down as, you know, all-timers. It's just, and honestly, this is what you look for as guys like us, is a game like Drake. You know, hopefully, if everything goes right, you're going to be playing a considerable amount. First game I really played a lot of reps in was Butler, and we knew that was going to happen. It just happened to be a Target Field, so super cool, like all-time memory. But I think I got like 30 or 35 snaps there. It's a lot of football.
Right. So quick for you, Zach, I mean, your mindset going into a game like Butler or going into a game like Drake this week. I mean,
yeah,
like obviously bench warmers. What is your, what's your mindset going into a game compared to SDSU compared to Drake?
Really, I think during the week of a game like SDSU, both you're focused on learning the assignment, but as you know, as weird as it sounds, I had a much higher anxiety level for the important games, because if somebody did go down, they're counting on me. They're looking at me ready to go. As far as actual game day, you know, obviously you want to keep in your mind that the first guy doesn't get hurt, nothing bad happens. Yeah. If you happen to get into an SDSU game because you're up by 40, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sweet. Yeah, you know, you didn't want anybody to get hurt and go down. So you're just getting ready for what your job is on that day. I was a clipboard guy. I hung out with Blazek and Larson and, you know, helped him pick out things that were happening with the defense. I had a role on Saturdays that wasn't playing a lot of the time. But when you go on with Drake, it's like, okay, how many drives are these guys going to get? Right. How many drives am I going to get?
Yeah.
Are they coming back in at halftime? You're getting ready to play, of what I imagine those guys actually feel like when, you know, they're getting ready, the starters feel like when they're getting ready for actual game days.
Yeah, and I think the toughest part, I mean, I was lucky enough to, I was on field goal for a year or two, and then I was on punt for, you know, 3 years. So those snaps are a little tough just because, like, if you're not in the flow of the game, it was weird being on defense, being on punt.
Sure.
Being on punt shield, being on D-line that first year. Because I would, you know, defense was just coming off the field, and, like, you're trying to, like, listen to Coach Gazer and do all that. And then, like, but you kind of want to know, like, if the offense is struggling a lot, right, or if they're doing really good. Because, like, if they're struggling, then I'm, like, kind of back and forth, like, looking at the offense.
Yeah.
Doing all that. Because, like, I have to stay stretching because, like, if you're, because I'm not playing a lot of snaps on defense, but I have to stay loose because, like, I don't want to mess up, you know, the one of, you know, five reps on punt that day either.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm always trying to stay loose, you know, that aspect.
You were in a weirder predicament than I was, because the only time I saw the field was if we were playing, if we were in getting those snaps.
Right.
You had to be ready for, I don't know if you're on field goal or not.
I was
not
on field goal and punt during my sophomore year.
Yeah, so
that was really weird because, like, I kind of had to be ready for both. But, like, I'm trying to listen to Coach Gazer, and then, like, because, like, as backups, part of your responsibility, too, is to, like, be a little bit of a liaison between Coach Gazer and the players.
Right.
Because, you know, Coach can't talk to every single guy that comes out the field.
Yeah.
Even if it's only 2D tack, sometimes, like, because when we were playing, the DN coach, whether it was Jamar Cain or Buddha Williams, they were always up top.
Yep.
So he had to talk to, Gazer had to talk to the D-tacks and DNs.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, whether it was Stides or, you know, Blake or Cole, one of those guys are like, well, do you remember what Gazer said about this play when, however many ago? So, like, I was kind of in that. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, Coach Kramer, punt ready.
Yeah.
Like, so you'd be like, oh, crap. Like, I haven't even stretched.
Right.
So then, like, you run out there, and same with field goal, I guess. But on the offense, when I moved to O-line and then, like, had to do the punt and field goal, I didn't do field goal stuff, but having to do the punt stuff was a little bit easier because now I could just always be stretching throughout the series.
And you knew how it was.
Yeah, and then take my time to, like, not stretch or whatever during when the offense would finally come off the field. But, yeah, I think, you know, being a backup, you have a lot of different roles during the season, and Unfortunately, one of them isn't, you know, preparing to play 60 snaps.
Yeah.
But a guy like me that was behind Zach, Johnson, Zeej, something that was important for me to do is to kind of just, you know, if he ever had a question about film. Zeej definitely watched more film than I did. I mean, the dude was always watching film. He was always in there. But if there was one thing I could give him during the week, you know, that could possibly help.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a DTAC tendency, you know, from another guy, if he was a long armor,
catching
if he was a bull rusher, if he swam a lot on a certain down, anything like that. Yeah, catching a signal, anything. You know, it's really important. And that's something that, you know, as a guy that, you know, glue guy, scout team, All-American, bench warmer, whatever you want to call us, as a guy that guys that were in that role, it's important to find what you do best on those game days and leading up to just to help the team as much as possible.
Yeah. And I think, that goes into both of us. You know, we were both pretty cerebral football players and knowing what was going on the field. And you know, maybe that was to our detriment in the fact that we weren't really read and react guys. We were kind of knew what was supposed to happen and when it was supposed to happen, but that helped us in, you know, Carson trusted me to come off the field and say, hey, what was that blitz on third down? Or Jalen said, you know, what did the D tackles do on that power? Any of this stuff is because the coaches are such high emotion and so high energy. You don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
and they have to be that way.
Absolutely.
But it is tough, like during a game, for players and coaches to communicate perfectly.
Because it's screaming and yelling. You need to be fired up to get the guys going, but you still have to be able to communicate effectively, which Larson and Blas were both really good at.
Great at. And offensively for home games, because obviously everyone you know during. If you're in the dome and the defense is on the field,
you're not hearing anything.
Yeah. And that was like the funniest part for me is like on defense, I was so used to like, you know, Gazer was like, you know, he was talking like this, like I am right now. And then all of a sudden I'm like offense and it's the first game of the year and it's Blas, first year guy, you know, Cordell was that was Cordell's first year starting, right? 2019.
Yeah.
So Cordell first year starter, Carson first year starter, Nash first year starter. I think they were
Rado coming off injury, I believe.
No, 1 year after.
1 year after.
But, like, just, you know, a lot of new guys and a new coach trying to find their game day routine. And, like, it's just yelling because it has to be.
It's nuts.
Like, the fans are yelling. And even behind you, you know, like, some fans are, like, yelling at the old
man. Oh, don't even get me started.
Gotta get a push. But
don't even get me started.
I hope that wasn't too loud in the mic. But
turn your car radio down.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I mean, game days are so fun, man. And like, I can't wait to get out there on Saturday and tailgate and, you know, be with all you guys. But there's one, you know, elephant in the room that we've been wanting to talk about. I've been wanting to talk about with Zach. I don't actually know if we've talked about it together, but something that is now part of game days.
Buddy.
In the dome. They're selling beer. What do you think, man?
My thing is I think not being able to drink for the 3-4 hours you're in the dome for the game contributes a lot to what you see and attribute to the crazy drunk Bison fans, right? Because you have to load up to make it through four. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's the culture it breeds because people can't get anything while they're in there. They can't leave at halftime to go tailgate again. You have to be out whatever half hour before the game starts. Now you can have 2-3 drink responsibly casuals during the game to kind of maintain your buzz if that's what you're trying to do. Because, you know, in a lot of places that don't have the culture on Saturdays like we do, you go out Friday night and the bar is what you do for the weekend, or Saturday night. The bar, you go out downtown, that's what you do for the weekend. What people do around here to enjoy themselves and get a reprieve from the week is go out tailgating and tie one on sometimes. So I think one, just as a business side, great revenue booster for the school.
Yeah, definitely surprised it's taken this long.
Yeah.
But I think I've tweeted it. I put it on Facebook. I don't know. Maybe this is me being pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think it's either going to be amazing or it's just going to be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
And the only reason I think it might be a complete disaster, I have one phrase. This phrase, you know, applies to a lot of things in life, I think. Don't be that guy.
Right.
And I'm sure there's going to be that guy or that gal that, and I, it's not like one of those things like, you know, we experienced it during our playing days, but like sometimes you would like get this privilege and then if like one person messed it up, they like took it away.
Yeah.
It's obviously not going to be that because it's to such a greater degree.
Yeah.
But I mean, oh man.
Folks, just be responsible.
Yeah, be responsible. Be an adult.
And I'm not here to lecture you because, hey, I've had my fair of my fair share of unresponsible enjoying my Saturday nights. But what I'm saying is don't throw beers at people. Don't spill them. Don't, accidents happen, but don't dump them on people. All this stuff that you kind of attribute to rowdy, drunk fans that you hear about all across the country, and that's not just Bison or collegiate fans.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's played a part into why it took so long to do this. I mean, you've seen it everywhere. I mean, I'm all for fun. I would love. I'm not encouraging it, but if I saw a beer snake of cups,
saw
a cup snake in the stands on Saturday, I'm gonna laugh.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's fun. I mean, that's like cool, but like that is probably the most I want to see as far as like fans trying to get themselves being part of the game.
Yeah, man.
And like, this is not like me being like, yeah, the fans are, as far as NDSU home games go, the fans are the most important part of the game in some aspects, the noise, all that. But like, take pride in that being your role. Don't find pride into taking a role and be like, I'm going to be the drunk guy that like gets kicked out of the game and makes this huge, you know, freaking scene.
Right.
Like that's what ruins people's experience. And that's why, and that's what makes people want to just stay home for games, which is the last thing we want. And I know, like, we're not, me and Zach, we're all about the fans. And, like, I'm sure I've tweeted something in the past about being disappointed in fan attendance. I think this will help fan attendance because, like, I think it will keep people or bring people into the dome that went to tailgate.
Right.
Because right now you're seeing a lot of people, you know, they're going to tailgate and they're loving tailgate and they're like, oh, we can't have beer in the dome.
Right.
So then they're going to Hurtin' Horns, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, support local
businesses, but support the team too. We got to get people into those stands no matter who we're playing.
If you have the means to go get a ticket, man, like the fact that we saw attendance dip into 17, 16,000 last year, to watch
for one of them,
to watch the best football team in the country at their level, it's I hope this helps. And like Quinn said, just don't be that guy. You know, don't be the guy in the student section going to buy them for the 19-year-olds and stuff like this. Just be responsible. Enjoy it as what it is. It's
and if you
being able to have a beer during the game, just like anybody else would want to around the country.
Yeah, and like any sensible person knows that like there are rules, but like I think you don't even need to look at the code of conduct to know what those rules would be, but go on the NDSU Athletics website. I think they posted some, you know, code of conduct thing.
Yeah.
Go on there, make sure, you know, you're not going to be breaking any rules, but yeah, this is a fun thing. This is something that people have wanted forever. So let's not, you know, like I said, what Zach repeated, let's just not be that guy.
Yeah. And
pretty simple.
Last thing we want to come across is like this preachy, you know.
We're 24 and 23 year olds. We don't know that much about life.
Yeah.
But just don't be that guy.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think there's a very fine line between this being able to help people enjoy game day and, you know, not start a riot in,
absolutely,
you know, in the West lot when the game's done. So
because you don't need to go in there and get drunk.
No.
I'm not saying you can't, by all means. If that's what you want to do,
right,
just don't be that guy that takes it to the next level. But like, having a beer in your hand for a game, for me, that's just going to give me like great vibes.
It does help, man.
Yeah,
it's like being at a baseball game. You absolutely don't want to be empty-handed.
No.
And I, you know, here's the other thing, folks. Be ready to spend $8 to $12 a beer. Like, it's not going to be cheap. It never is at any stadium. I don't know what it's going to cost. We'll see this weekend.
Yep.
But just understand it's not going to be cheap. Go in, have your drink of choice during the game, and just enjoy it. Stay till the fourth quarter. And that's another part of it, is people leaving early. One, because college kids want to go party and people are bored of the game. I think this will help.
Okay. So something I think we want to do, I don't know if we're going to set up an email for it in the future, maybe after this week, but we do want this to be a super interactive pod. I mean, we're talking to former players right now about coming on. I think we're going to be scheduling some guys pretty soon here. But another thing we want to do, if you're listening right now and if you have a question, we want you to send it in. So like I said, we're probably going to set up an email at some point. But for now, like I said, we haven't even talked about this, but for now, just send it in, you know, send it to our DMs on Twitter, you know, Messenger on Facebook.
Yeah.
My name on Facebook, it's just Quinn Allo.
Shoot it to Bison Report. We all see Bison that Report.
So my Twitter handle is MQA_63.
Yeah, I'm just Zach Willis 57. You guys know where to find us. If you have a question, tweet it at us, DM it to us, literally about anything.
Yeah, and if there's a lot right away, which I'm not expecting, but if there is, we're probably not going to hit them all, but we're definitely going to write them all down. We'll put it in our Google Doc that we share, and we'll highlight at least two or three each week. But as you guys can tell, I'm not a big talker in real life, but when me and Zach get together, we both talk a lot. So this pod's running probably a little longer than we like, but you know, we just love talking about, you know, our experience with you guys. And if any of the fans out there or listeners want to know any specifics, and here's another thing, you know, if we get a question, and I'm not saying we are, but if we get a question, it's like, hey, what do you guys do for lifts on Thursdays?
Yeah,
like, can you send us in detail? It's like, we can't do any of that. Yeah. I mean, we're going to
block you because you're an SDSU burner.
Yeah. So if you like have a question, like if you want to ask about an experience, like, you know, what Frisco's like or something like that, we can actually talk about in detail without giving up, you know, what the formula for success is at NDSU. Then we're going to talk about it for sure.
Yeah. Cause there's stuff that's going to go glossed over as far as what we remember. Cause we did it for so long. If there's anything that you guys, you know, what is treatment like, you know, what is, you know, what's the routine on Sundays, what are some other traditions, stuff like that, just shoot it to us. Be sure to keep sharing with your friends. We appreciate all the support.
Share and retweet. We tweet it out from the Bison Report page, and then me and Zach usually quote it or, you know, retweet it or something on and share it on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, keep sharing, you know, keep listening. We appreciate you guys for sure.
Yeah,
and we will. Yeah, we'll see you on Saturday. Can't wait to tailgate with all of you and go Bison.
Yeah, come find the Bison Report bus. We'll be out there. Come say what's up. Listen to Ross pregame. He's, I believe, 6 to 8. He's cutting his stuff 2 hours before or 2 hours before the game. Listen to him. Then come out. I'm sure we'll have food. Everybody does. Come out. Have a beverage if you're of age. Come say what's up. We'll both be there. Looking forward to see you guys.